Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 352.
Here we are.
Here we are.
And we're ready to rock and roll.
We are. I actually don't know what the second topic is, but the first topic is going to be an update for the Lego saga, the stolen Lego saga.
This is so insane. I honestly am kind of like disassociating because it's so bizarre. It feels like I'm watching a movie, but it's not a movie. It's real life. However, I do feel like we actually get a little bit of closure here. We actually find out a little bit more of what's actually gone down. So I just feel like that helps understand the story better, because last time we left off, everything was just kind of hanging and like, oh, well, I guess he doesn't have his Legos and they're not going to, you know, give him back.
I feel like I was kind of spiraling at the end. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Not giving him his money. It left us on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
But we'll start with that because CoffeeZilla has entered the chat. And whenever CoffeeZilla enters, it's usually
not good for the people he's covering.
Something wide open. Yeah. Like, he doesn't just come in half ass and be like, this is what's happening. I'm so dead. Like us. But he's more of an investigator. You know what I mean? He has like a team dedicated to investigating and getting both sides of the story and really interviewing people who are in some hot water. You know, like he covered the whole Hawk to a coin. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Mm-hmm. He really broke that wide open.
The Logan Paul crypto thing.
Yeah, he's the reason we got. Anywho, I guess I'm going to go to bed now. He's the reason we got that.
Fees that are being generated, there's an actual like
source of income. Hey guys, I hate to interrupt you, Nick. Well, hello there. But anywho, I'm going to go to bed and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
The way he is baffled.
Shut the fuck up. I thought you paused it.
No, literally. But also, I'm going to replay it super quick and just close your eyes and imagine this is Timmy Turner. Okay.
Not for the token price itself, but just in terms of the fact that there's fees that are being generated, there's an actual, like,
hey source guys, of income. I hate to interrupt you, Nick. Well, hello there. But anywho, yeah. I'm going to go to bed, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
She's like a country Timmy Turner. It literally, when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God. So he deserves an award for it.
Yes.
Truly. Now, he has entered the chat, and to my surprise, his video shows that he really did get both sides of the story. And I think that that's really important here, because I feel like Reckless Ben, although I definitely accredit him to the reason why the story is as popular as it is, he definitely pushed some boundaries that
it was a little
turned
messy.
Off. Yeah, it turned off corporate and everybody to cooperating with him.
Yeah.
So like, even though he kept trying to, you know, make them cooperate, I mean, if I was them, would I have done that either?
To be fair, I'm not so sure they would have cooperated anyway, but it made it much more difficult, I think, to even consider that they would cooperate. And honestly, maybe that did help in the long run, because like, if you wrote a book of like, what not to do as a business owner that is like in a crisis, I feel like they would be on every page.
Exactly. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, you really do have to go watch our original video covering this, because it explains what these Legos even are, who's they're supposed to be, and why everybody is freaking out over them. And we're not really going to go over that. We're basically going to, you know, continue from where we left off.
The TLDR is basically that someone was selling their Legos. They had a collection that was worth almost $200,000 and they put them on consignment at a store, but then the store owners were moving, so they tried to tell the like corporate, they were a franchise owner, they told corporate that they were moving, and so then corporate took the store, took everything in it, and kicked them out of the store. And suddenly the consignment stuff that was in the store is no longer anywhere to be found. And the guy that was trying to sell it all gets none of his money.
Exactly. Now, really quickly, the old franchisee owner, her name is Chris Gorman, and she actually commented on our coverage of this, which was really nice. She said, "You guys did such a good job with this. Thank you, Chris," the previous franchise owner. And Chris, if you're watching this, we did receive her email. She did ask basically like, to come on the show. And unfortunately, Chris, we had one really bad experience with interviewing people and it scarred us forever. And we don't interview anybody. It has correct. Nothing to do with you or like anything against you. We refuse to do any interviews ever again. As long as we live, right, Lily?
Yep. Not happening here. Yeah. No, it's kind of a trauma thing.
Kind of.
Definitely a trauma thing. But I did donate to your GoFundMe.
Yeah. Slay Queen. And, you know, honestly, I think CoffeeZilla basically did a really good job interviewing her. And he does like, really press into both of the sides of the story. So the Gormans and then the other people. So he interviews like corporate and he calls them something, the McNeefs or something. He's going to explain it. And we're going to watch some of Coffeezilla's McNeefs. Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Oh, and also we already said this in a past episode. I don't think it was in the actual episode. It was like the one after. Reckless Ben, who had been the YouTuber that was like getting in the middle of all of this, he actually got a protective order against him by corporate. And so then he is not allowed to say anything anymore. So Coffeezilla is kind of like picking up the torch.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot to this video. Feel free to obviously go watch Coffeezilla's video in its entirety, but it is titled, I Found the $200,000 Missing Lego. Okay.
Singular?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it was many different Legos, but actually we find out, and I did think that was super interesting, it wasn't $200,000 of Legos missing. So we find out the exact number, and yeah, it's this whole thing. But this is him talking to the Bricks and Minifigs side, and they bring up that Chris Gorman has a bit of a criminal history, and they think it's relevant here.
Bricks and Minifig's story is that they were worried about the Gormans skipping town, so they sent Brandon Best as a secret shopper on October 24th, 2024. This is weeks before the takeover. Brandon takes a video of the store condition in preparation for this handover, but at this point, Brandon does not announce himself to Crystal Gorman. Later, though, on November 14th, once again, the same concern about the Gorman stealing or theft was expressed by the McNeefs.
Brandon was trying to make sure that they weren't taking things from the store, and so he was kind of trying to make sure that he wasn't putting things, you know, like hiding things in the back, and that he, like, and while he was watching that, was trying to make sure Ben wasn't grabbing stuff from the store and moving or doing anything along those lines, because he just got a weird feeling about the whole transition.
She took at least one, if not more than one, cartfuls of things out to her car with her coat draped over it.
So yeah, the McNeefs say, look, they don't trust the Gormans. And they explained it, you know, even further. They said, hey, there's some issues in her past.
She apparently has a retail theft and other criminal, like, arrests on her record that we were not aware of.
When was that?
I don't know.
Not the rumors, but, like, she actually does have a retail theft charge on her record. But, like,
well, it's her retail store.
Didn't know when it was from. Like, you could easily background search, which don't they do that when you're going to become a franchisee owner?
Like, I would think so.
They want to make sure it's not a criminal.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, like, it's her store, though. Like, I feel like that's different than, like, stealing. I mean, not that it's not okay, period, but it's like.
No, I know. But I also wonder, like, it is her store, but I think as a franchisee, is all that inventory yours? I do wonder that. Like, is it as long
as you own it, your property? It just feels weird. I feel like that wouldn't be where you would steal from.
I agree.
Retail theft, like shoplifting, I feel like is different than like smuggling a bunch of Legos out of the store under a coat.
Agreed. Yeah. 100%.
This has been brought out by several people online now.
Oh.
Now look, that's a huge accusation to bring up. And so obviously I wanted to talk to the Gormans about it.
They're like, she has a history of some type of burglary theft.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, nope. Well, yes.
Well,
you know about this.
Explain.
Yeah, when I was 19 years old.
How long ago is that?
I am 45 now.
Shut the fuck up.
That's fucking crazy. Like, 19? You can't do that. I mean, granted, if somebody's like arrested for murder, you know, at 19, then I would still be concerned about them,
like,
as an individual.
Like a bunch of them, and she was like a klepto, perhaps.
Yeah, but one like shoplifting little moment.
That's,
you know what I mean?
I'm
like, you were 19.
Yeah,
come on.
So this was in 1999. This, something that happened 25 years ago, has no reflection and no bearing on what happened in the
last
2 years, my management of the store, what happened the night corporate seized the store. It is another deflection.
I would be inclined to agree with that, because what the fuck? Like, I feel like that's just not relevant. And for Mustache to be like, I just heard it. I don't know where. Like, a couple people online told me.
Well, convenient that he doesn't know when or what. Like, he has no details
right,
around
exactly.
It. He didn't look into it any further. He just took it at face value and was like, oh, well, she must have sold the Legos then.
Now, we do get quite a bit of time where Coffeezilla is analyzing the store from when Brandon did the video of it to when they actually took over the store. And then Chris Gorman has her own pictures. So he compares like all of them. It's actually quite insane.
This, we'll go through these pictures. This is what Josh saw. Or not Josh, sorry, Brandon saw. He took pictures of everything in the store, all the inventory in the store. This is what the shelves looked like compared to what you just saw a moment ago.
Okay, so I'm seeing a lot less. Just to state the obvious, go back a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm seeing like way less. So yeah, the pictures I was being shown on November 14th, those shelves looked emptier than they did on the day of October 24th. But to be fair to the Gormans, they addressed the empty shelves themselves.
As we get to the very end of this video in particular, right here, you'll see that empty space right here. So this is the retired and certified set section that we have to keep separate from the new in box current sets being sold by LEGO. All those empty spaces up there were the sets that we had on display during the day from Brian's collection that every night when the store closed, we pulled off and put back into the safe and then put back out in the morning.
So when they say, see, there's empty space on the shelves, yeah, because we put them in safes at night to keep.
Hey, who's that back there? I don't know who that is. That scared me.
Introduce yourself. Like,
I thought I was like double seeing Chris. Like I thought I was seeing two
I'm assuming it's probably their daughter.
Probably. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we have giant windows.
Yeah, it's an explanation that kind of makes sense given the history of burglary. Now, of course, this is something I had to ask the McNeffs about.
Is this a case of... did y'all see Star Wars sets in the back? Did y'all not see the Star Wars sets in the back? Did he take, not in the back, but specifically in a safe. Like there were a bunch of Star Wars sets in a safe. Did Brandon see those? Has there been talk of those? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. My understanding is that he took pictures of everything and all those photos I showed you of the Star Wars were all the photos, or was literally all the Star Wars inventory in the store.
Yeah, the McNeffs say all of the photos should be with Brandon of all the Star Wars items.
Should be.
And to be fair to them, they showed me a lot more pictures and even showed me a spreadsheet of all the Star Wars sets in the store the night Brandon took it over. And it valued to about like $5,000 to $10,000 or so. But then I had to ask.
Oh, sorry, here's another kind of set.
So he starts looking at serial numbers and comparing them because in Chris Gorman's spreadsheet, so there's two spreadsheets. There's the ones that Bricks and Minifigs has and then the one that Chris Gorman has. And they start trying to pull from the pictures what serial numbers match up with the ones on Chris's pictures to see what the actual value of the Legos would be.
Because are the amounts significantly less on the corporate ones?
The amounts, yes, are significantly less. But I will say, to be fair, they are also significantly less than $200,000.
Okay.
Because I feel like $200,000, even the difference between 200 and I think what they came to on the high end is 106. I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, well, but we also know that they had said that some of the stuff had sold already. So it wasn't all, like it started around 200,000, but also they had since said, which I don't know, because we didn't really believe corporate, but they said it was like closer to 100,000, I think, or 150,000
right,
maybe.
Right.
But they said that at the time the store got taken over, they had already sold a chunk of it. Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Ollie.
91% of dog parents say that their dog is an important member of the family. And to those other 9%, I have questions for you.
I was just gonna say, we need to talk about the other 9%.
Absolutely. I am absolutely obsessed with my little Hershey. I've had him for so long now, and he is truly a member of my family. And if there's anyone that gets being dog obsessed, it's Ollie, because they deliver the best food and experience for you and your dog. And Hershey loves it. He has been eating Ollie for, I think, going on 2 years now. And if I switch it up, he is not happy. So we just stick to what we know.
And it's super convenient because it sends you like a month's supply at a time and it comes frozen. And I know for Max, it comes in like the perfect proportion for him. So like, I don't even have to deal with like storing it. But if you do get the larger ones and your pet doesn't eat it all, they have little pup-tainers they give you. It's like a little lunchbox kind of thing that you store it in. It's really cute.
And the best thing about Ollie is that they are fresh recipes that are developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists. So you know that it's a good balanced meal for your dog, which for me, I used to actually make Hershey's food once upon a time. And it was hard to know if I was putting
that.
Everything that he needed in the food, but he loved fresh food. So I would try my best. But now with Ollie, I have peace of mind knowing that his meals are all balanced.
So if you haven't tried Ollie and you want to get ready for you and your dog to be obsessed, head to ollie.com/DWKT. You'll tell them all about your dog and then use the code DWKT and you'll get 70% off your welcome kit when you subscribe.
Plus they offer an obsession guarantee. So if you're not completely obsessed, you'll get your money back. Again, you just head over to Ollie, OLLIE.com/DWKT and enter the code DWKT to get 70% off your first box. And thank you so much to Ollie for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
What about 9493?
3. I don't see that one either. So maybe those were locked at the time and Brandon did not get those pictures.
Oh.
All right. That's kind of a problem because the Gormans had over 200 photos.
So when they were comparing the pictures, they found that corporate didn't have any record of some of the ones that Chris had pictures of. So that's what they're discovering right now.
Definitely knew looking at these photos, there's a lot more Legos in the Gormans photos, but quite a lot that Brandon's photos just didn't show. But corporate didn't really see it that way.
But still, in the grand scheme of things, we're not talking again 10 times the amount of sets here.
I don't know. I haven't shown all the photos yet. I don't know exactly how much.
If there's a calculable figure that we can look at and say, great, this is what was there, I promise you it's not $100,000 worth of Lego.
What is it, though?
And so where's the rest of it? You got me. I don't know.
You got me.
That's convenient.
That's crazy.
He doesn't say no, but that, like, there isn't more. It's just there's not 10 times as much. They both just seem so disingenuous and like they're just bullshitting constantly. This guy is a little more well-spoken than Handlebar Mustache over there, who I've seen do interviews where he's just stumbling on his words the whole time. It's like he can't
talk.
Yeah,
how is he the CEO? What the hell? Okay, so do you know about the U-Haul thing?
Okay, so yes, but not from the coffee video. I watched something else about it that made it also even more suspicious, I think. I saw it in Markey's video, and he was comparing a couple interviews, specifically one with an old franchise owner that seems to allegedly have experienced something very, very similar to the Gormans. And there was also a U-Haul involved. And the interview that he pulled that from predates any of this.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is interesting because basically throughout this process, Coffee is describing how Chris says that while she was leaving, she saw a U-Haul in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Corporate says no U-Haul. There was no U-Haul.
He was
driving a rental car. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. He was driving a rental car. Well, then Coffee started looking.
This is another one of those things that was like really disputed between the two parties was this U-Haul that supposedly was driven up to the store the night of the takeover.
So when Brandon came to the store that night, he was driving a U-Haul truck.
Now, in typical fashion, this was immediately disputed.
Brandon showed up to the Salem store in a rental car. When he came to get the keys from Crystal, he was there in a rental car, not in a U-Haul.
It wasn't until after he told me he was taking the keys and locking me out that I really kind of paid attention to the fact that he had a large, not the small, the large U-Haul truck.
So yeah, I just kept hearing about this U-Haul truck. Now, why is it significant, U-Haul or not? Well, one, a U-Haul truck can fit a lot of Legos, mm-hmm. but the big reason it mattered to me was because I was actually called by an ex-employee of the Bricks and Minifix store in Eugene, Oregon. Remember, that's the one that Brandon and Josh owned. And he told me something very interesting.
I'm a former employee, started in 2024, and I was working under the old manager, Brian, and he sold the store to Brandon Best and Josh.
What store was this? Bricks and Minifigs, where?
Eugene.
Okay, now what did you see that made you want to talk to me?
I saw Breakfast Ben's YouTube video about sales for closing down because when I was talking to my employee co-workers about the situation of Salem, and we were told through other employees that it was just a bad area to work in. It was like haunted, if you will, and it was going around. But after seeing the video of Reckless Ben, we exposed them, and it makes a lot more sense with what we dealt with Brandon and Josh. Like, oh, Crystal stole Lego sets and out of the country.
Who says that?
Brandon Best told us. When he was jumping off all the Lego sets to us that night. It was a bunch of used Lego sets. Sets that were like Saran Wrap. They had Star Wars, CD. They used a lot of stock. It was like a medium-sized U-Haul truck.
Wait. They brought a U-Haul truck.
Yeah, from Salem. LTG.
I didn't know that part. That's crazy.
Right? That is crazy. I will say, a little suspicious to me, somebody who just like sees the YouTube video type of thing and then calling into Coffeezilla. Like, I am weary of that source in general.
Oh.
just because, like, you know,
I feel like Coffee would have, he seems like he would have, like, confirmed that somehow.
He did find actually one flaw in this guy's story that doesn't really match up, but one thing that he does find is the fucking U-Haul.
Was there a U-Haul that night or not? Because everybody's disagreeing about it. This Eugene, Oregon guy says, oh yeah, a U-Haul showed up with Star Wars sets in it. Brandon was talking about the Salem store. You've got Matt McNeff saying there was no U-Haul there. It was a rental car. You've got Crystal saying, yeah, I thought it was really weird. There was a U-Haul truck there.
That seems so like I told such a the weird McNeffs, thing to make up.
I really got to find out what the truth is here.
If you know anything about it, let me know, because that's just something I heard.
I do, and it has nothing to do with the Salem store. Well, at least not the Salem store in the way that it is there. Brandon showed up to the Salem store in a rental car. When he came to get the keys from Crystal, he was there in a rental car, not in a U-Haul.
So when there was the handoff, there wasn't a U-Haul, it was a rental car.
Correct. He was there in a rental car.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think any of the, like, if you were to look at the footage, the Ring cameras, all that stuff, you won't see a U-Haul sitting anywhere in the parking lot.
Interesting.
So after hearing all of this, I realized, look, I just got to find the evidence. So I start sifting through these photos I have, right? I realize I have a parking lot photo. I check it. No U-Haul, just a red truck out there. I check another photo where you could see the window. But the problem is, it's night outside, so you can't see. And so I'm looking at everything I can, and there's just nothing, you know? You know, I have this alternate angle. I'm looking at that. And then...
there it is.
Zoom in on that photo. Bring up the brightness of this photo a little
bit.
There
you go.
My gosh. There's a U-Haul.
That's fucking crazy to lie about
that. Isn't
that
fucking crazy?
Like when, oh, check the cameras.
I think it's also just super indicative of how boldly corporate has allegedly lied. You know what I mean? Like they just look at your face. Oh yeah. He's like, nope, he was not there. Yeah. He was there in a rental car. But also I encourage corporate to understand that they are getting Brandon and Josh's side of things. And that's what they're going off of. And that's simply not enough.
No, that is something to wonder. Like how much of it is corporate lying and how much of it is them just not asking enough questions and maybe potentially being lied to.
Be that.
I do get sketchy vibes from them, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did know that they were like misrepresenting things, but I guess there's a possibility that they could also be being hoodwinked, but I don't think that is the case, allegedly, in my opinion, of course.
I can look at Brandon and Josh and, in my opinion, see them as like bold-faced fucking liars, and I could easily see where corporate would be kind of like negligent and not investigating enough.
I would think so, maybe more if like it didn't seem like they were working together very closely.
I agree. No, and also
they deny.
After everything that's happened now, it's easier to think that corporate is like super slimy and in on it, just because like the suing and all that stuff. They're not just like, oh yeah, like Brandon and Josh, they are going very hardcore.
And
like
the fact that they had him go in as a secret shopper prior to taking over the store also, like they were very in cahoots the whole time, allegedly, in my opinion, of course.
Right outside of the store the night of November 14th, 2024. This is something that Matt said he had seen footage of, and it couldn't be true.
And again, I believe I have seen footage from that night that shows clearly out into the parking lot, and there's no U-Haul.
Oh.
After seeing this, I said, I really have to make a call. And that's when the story changed.
So last night, I talked with Matt McNeff. I brought up this question of the U-Haul. He told me emphatically there was no U-Haul. Y'all came to me this morning. You said, hey, we looked into it. There actually was a U-Haul there that night. Can you clear up what that's about?
So there's actually two different things.
Not mustache handling this.
That's interesting, though. That like, oh, well, he was very confident. That's like, well, actually, we looked and there was. Let me guess. They say it's not theirs?
No, they actually have to say that it's theirs. Wait, do they say first it's not theirs? It ends up it's theirs. And they have the receipt end up providing that to Coffee. Yeah. But like, I don't know.
So I don't know if you want this particularly not on the record, but we do know of a disgruntled former employee that worked at another location, that back on the 24th of October, there was a U-Haul that went to a storage unit in Salem for another previous franchisee, you know, like for a different situation that we had just, you know, gone through some things and he had a previously, you know, like, hey, I have some inventory that I didn't turn over that I was supposed to. It's at this storage location. You guys can come pick it up. And so Brandon was sent on that day to pick up with a U-Haul inventory
that then he moved down, but that was October 24th.
Oh, so then it wasn't the same day.
This is giving the shrimp from Shark Tale. I can't. Like, the amount of details he's throwing in this story is so unnecessary.
Well, he literally just said it was the same day, but then he just said October, and it was in November.
Yeah, I'm really not sure of the timeline there, but then also, why wouldn't you lead with this if you guys obviously knew this?
Because maybe they did look at footage and there wasn't an angle that caught the U-Haul or something and they didn't realize that it was going to be in that picture.
Yeah, but this doesn't, like, let's say they're not in on this, right? And it's just Brandon and Josh lying to them and they had the U-Haul and corporate didn't know. But even if that was the case, wouldn't this make you realize that you're being lied to? No, instead now you're lying and you're going just in a further weird direction. It's very strange.
I don't know why they think if they keep doing this, like there's been so many instances where they've been caught in lies. It's like, do you think this doesn't look good.
No, they need a PR crisis team ASAP.
Yeah, not ChatGPT like their PR statements they put out.
So when we're talking about this ex-employee, you're saying they are conflating the October 24th event of the U-Haul coming up to Eugene with Legos.
Oh, he doesn't have the photo yet.
Sometime after November 14th, after the store takeover. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Yes.
He looks awfully guilty.
That was a long pause, my friend. Bro, he looks so stressed.
Does that check out? Yeah, I think so. Say yes.
So this is now kind of a strange story. Corporate is saying there was a U-Haul at the Eugene store dropping off Lego, but that was from a different night, different collection. The CEO says Brandon showed up to Salem on October 24th for his secret shopper job with Crystal. And separately, he also was getting a different collection of Legos that also included Star Wars. And that's what he brought to the Eugene store and the former employee is remembering. Oh. Then, weeks later, on November 14th, Brandon supposedly shows up again with a U-Haul, but the reason isn't for hauling Legos.
Brandon flew in to Eugene that night. At midnight. So
it doesn't matter.
Flew from Utah on the 13th, but landed in Oregon on, midnight of the 14th. Went and got a rental truck, and then went and stayed at a trailer that had previously been moved up there in anticipation, meaning a camper trailer, in anticipation of the potential hostile takeover previously.
Is that why he had a U-Haul? Is that the reason he had a U-Haul was for this camper? Or what's going on with the
U-Haul? So then what happens is he takes his rental vehicle truck and he tries to connect the trailer, the camping trailer, to that truck. And it's not rated for that particular weight. And he realized, oh, crap. He called around and found that U-Haul had a rating for, one of their...
So now he's saying that he had a camper trailer
that
couldn't fit on the rental truck. So now he needed a U-Haul to... What the fuck are you talking about?
A U-Haul feels like a weird thing to rent for a camper.
No, I will say the only reason why I'm like, oh, that's believable in terms of like people do that is because I recently was going to do that because I needed to pick up something I bought on Facebook Marketplace and I needed a trailer, but I'm not going to put that shit on my car. So I was like, oh, I could just get a U-Haul for that. Like, I think people do think U-Haul because like U-Haul even rents like out trailers. And
no,
shit
I know
like that,
they trucks. Do. I just so feel like that kind of a truck doesn't usually seem like what you would tow a camper on.
I think all of those trucks do have hitches, but like, yeah, I know what you mean. You would think like a regular truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally.
Like a big, like,
yeah. Either way, what story
way,
are we being fed right now?
We've gone from zero U-Hauls to two U-Hauls, so it's a little like the story.
Oh my god,
changed.
I know. He like inadvertently admitted to the U-Haul from a month ago.
Like,
before
well,
that,
there was a U-Haul, but it's like, what happened to literally you saying multiple times, like, nope, no U-Haul, just a rental truck? He took it was
very
a rental
confidently.
Truck. Like, well, yeah, the U-Haul was also a rental truck.
Went and got it at 10 a.m. on the 14th, and so he then went and hooked that trailer up. The camping trailer to a U-Haul, drove that trailer down to another location where he could set up the camping trailer in Salem, dropped off the camper trailer, and then he arrived in a U-Haul.
Oh, so conveniently, he dropped off this
trailer.
Camper trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dropped it off before. So don't look for it attached to the U-Haul to corroborate this story because you're not going to find that.
Why did it have to be at the other store?
I don't fucking know. This all sounds like
shit. How
far
away are Eugene and Salem?
Oh god, I don't know.
I'll Google it really fast. Okay, I'm just curious because also like isn't the whole point of a trailer that you can really bring it anywhere? It's an hour and 7 minutes. Yeah, it kind of seems crazy that you would drive an hour out of the way to drop off a trailer like a camper and then drive an hour and then
you know
go
what
back?
Seems crazier is that you would do all of this and then when you're asked about your U-Haul, you wouldn't just
no
say
U-Haul.
This. Yeah, that's the literal most crazy part about this. It's like, okay, if this story was true, you should have just said that in the first place. But anyway, skipping forward a little bit, we're going to get to the comparison of the point of sale records to actually find out like how much money we're talking about here.
Kind of have to move on to another theory of how to find these missing Lego. This time, let's take the photographs that we have and reconstruct what was in the night on November 14th. Remember, that's the moment we lost the Lego. And this time...
The singular Lego.
It's killing me that he's doing that. Is it like on purpose to get engagement so people comment on it?
I don't know, no. I think maybe he thinks the plural of Legos is Lego.
No one thinks that.
It's not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, girlies, I stand corrected. Apparently, this is like a huge point of contention in the Lego community, but Lego, the brand, is very passionate about it. They say Lego is always an adjective, so Lego bricks, Lego elements, Lego sets, etc. Never, ever Legos. And they've spoken on this quite a few times. Here's another statement where it says, "Dear parents and children, Lego is a brand name that is very special to all of us in the Lego group companies. We would sincerely appreciate your help in keeping it special by referring to our bricks as Lego bricks or toys, and not just Legos. By doing so, you will be helping protect and preserve a brand name that stands for quality the world over." Quality the world over? I don't really understand, and that makes my brain hurt. What do you mean it's not Legos? I feel like I have been living a lie. I don't agree. I object. Anyway, that's it. Back to us. Bye.
Before we go any further, we have a word from our next sponsor, Chime.
Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding fee-free banking and it's built right for you.
Yeah, they're not like traditional old banks that charge you overdraft and monthly fees. It's actually really cool. They have something called SpotMe, which lets you overdraft up to $200 fee-free. And let me tell you, at a certain point in my life, that could have really saved me. But unfortunately, I didn't know about Chime at the time.
It would have prevented me from asking you to borrow money to get in and out.
There you go.
Chime members can also benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards fee-free. They also have a feature called MyPay where you can get up to $500 of your paycheck early.
Plus, you can get premium travel perks like airport lounge access and 24/7 concierge included with your Chime card, and a savings that grows faster with a 3.75 APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average.
Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. So join the millions who are already banking fee-free today by going to chime.com/DWKT. That's chime.com/DWKT, and it only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Now, Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a JD Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures. And thank you so much to Chime for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
From corporate, I got the point of sale records from the Salem store from 2023 to 2024. And secondly, from Crystal Gorman, I got her internal records of Brian's inventory of what was sold or not in order to pay him and keep track of prices. Now, before we piece things together, I need to address something. At the beginning of this story, you saw the social post saying this collection was worth $200,000. That's what everyone knows this story as, the $200,000 Lego collection. But sadly, that post was entirely wrong. In Crystal Gorman's inventory, which has a high and low estimate value of these various Lego items, the real estimated value is about $107,000. They give high estimates and low estimates, but that's right there in the middle. And for simplicity, I'll just be using averages and estimates here, but understand that, you know, these numbers are not firm given that they're unsold Legos. It's just rough possibilities. But the point is, it's worth nowhere near $200,000. And Reckless Bin, the one who made the original video covering this, said that surprised him.
Yeah, this entire time, literally every single person's been telling me there were $200,000. Like, that's how much, like, you could sell all these sets for.
My original assessment of about $200,000 was going up to his father's house and looking in 3 different rooms with all the sets. It was before I'd actually gone through and had set numbers and done an actual like evaluation. I looked at it and went based on as things progressed and as I started to delve more into the actual inventory and evaluating it, that number changed.
I will say it is interesting. I don't even know if I would call it strange. It's just interesting that that wasn't said in Reckless Ben's entire series.
I agree, because also corporate, not that we believe most of what corporate says, but they said that.
Like, yeah, they were like, it's not 200,000. But then Reckless Ben, if anything, pushed back on that.
Oh, yeah. Corporate said something that was like, that was like the initial article. It was just like for
And that is true, optics. It turns out. Yeah.
I do think it's a little weird that no one corrected it ever besides yeah, corporate.
Just interesting. Like even like Brian, you know, he was very aware because he was probably told once Chris did the inventory and stuff what the high end would look like. Yeah. So like he, of all people, would have been the person that I would think would correct it.
To play devil's advocate, I guess it's like, doesn't matter.
Well, it does when you consider that literal exact parts of his video were dependent on the fact that it was $200,000 worth of Lego. Like for the lawsuit and stuff, I think they even said
for
it was
the lawsuit. Yeah, no, it would come into yeah, play like, there for I sure. Know. I think I don't know what it says in the lawsuit if there are exact numbers, but I would say also just
that
like,
could just be a product of Reckless Ben just trying to do something more for entertainment.
Well, that's what I was gonna say because maybe 200,000 obviously like, sounds better than 100,000, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They still stole.
Agreed, 100%. I just found it interesting.
So I agree that it is like maybe we should have clarified. But also for the purposes of like, hey, give us back the Legos. I feel like
yeah, give
maybe it,
back, it
was like, regardless. Hey, well, if it sounds like there's more, then maybe they'll be.
However, I do think it would have been relevant if they gave back, let's say they gave back all the Legos and they got $100,000 worth of Legos. Would Reckless Ben have pushed back and be like, there's more because it's 200,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah, how far I would hope that they would have clarified that at that point.
Yeah.
We put out the press release well in advance of the event itself, so that press release went out before I had those full numbers. So we went, this is a nice even number that will grab attention and bring.
And like even coffee has the title of this video.
I found the 200,000 yeah. missing Lego.
Yeah,
the one.
People into the store, so we went with that.
And yeah, I mean to believe that is accurate at the high end. Like it was one of those things where when she was looking through and going, well, no. It says this and it says this, like. You don't think even at the high end?
You haven't actually seen this spreadsheet.
I'm so dead.
No, I haven't.
You might want to cut that part out because he hasn't actually seen the inventory sheet.
The spreadsheet says about for between 85,000 to 120 something thousand in the midpoint about 107 or something like that of what was inventory. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this has been a really big point of misinformation to clear up, because if we're ever going to find the missing Lego, we need to start with the right number, the right value. Yeah. It's about $107,000. Now, between 2023 and 2024, the Gormans record sales of about $24,000 of Brian's collection in their inventory tracking list. And of those sales, Brian was entitled to about 65 to 70% of it. He was paid $17,000, which roughly tracks with that. Which means on November 14th, the big night, the remaining amount of Brian's collection that should have been in there is about $82,000.
So then it goes even lower because like you subtract what they already sold. So 82 instead of 200 is a big difference.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah.
I will say.
It doesn't change the underlying like where the fuck is it, but it is not as much.
Yeah. Then he finds this interesting part of Chris's spreadsheet that indicates that a lot of Brian's collection was actually on layaway.
What does that mean?
Layaway, from what I understand, is like you have it almost like held for you. And like once you could pay it, then you get it. I don't think you actually get the item if you haven't paid for it yet. He explains it now, though. He says the definition.
According to those records, about $51,000 in sales went through during this time period in a way that matched Brian Mansell's collection. Now, that really worried me because Crystal's inventory list showed only 24,000 in sales for Brian, and Brian was only paid for that amount. But suddenly, I remembered back to a time when I spoke to Crystal, and I asked how much was sold prior to the takeover.
Which is something similar from what you told me, Crystal. Yeah. You told me, hey, it was about 50-something thousand.
Yeah.
But Brian was only paid 17,000.
Okay.
And it should have been about double that. And I'm just trying to make sense of that, given that everyone's accusing each other of theft right now. You understand?
I mean, without seeing any of those records, without seeing those individual tickets, I can't answer that any better.
Okay, this is kind of a problem. The math ain't math in here. 65 to 70% of 50,000 is almost double what we believe Brian was paid. And digging into the details, it turns out a lot of these sales come from what Crystal's spreadsheet actually categorizes as layaways, meaning they were marked as having been sold, but layaways are when someone puts a down payment on an item and later pays it off. But the problem was there were a lot of these worth about $20,000 in layaway,
And that felt a little strange to me. And because of that, I asked Josh Johnson, the incoming owner, and he responded, quote, "There were 2 to 3 items on layaway when they took over."
So on the list of that, on the inventory list, do you know about how many layaways
there were? I haven't gone through and done a count, but I know it was vastly more than 2 to 3.
It was about 98.
That makes sense.
So there were about $15,000 to $25,000 worth of sets on layaway.
Okay.
That's just the part that's surprising. That's the part that I can't get my head around. Let me just be really honest. I don't believe there was that much layaway. I don't know. I don't know how that's possible. How could there be that much layaway? I don't know. It's like I don't believe, because I was talking to some people about Bricks and Minifigs. They go, yeah, there's some layaway. There's not that much layaway. I talked to people who were neutral, kind of on corporate side, but also people who were just normal Bricks and Minifigs people. They say there's not that much layaway. Help me understand why there's $20,000 worth of layaway here.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely, if you talk to other Bricks and Minifigs locations, layaway is extremely rare. I think outside of the Brian's collection,
I'm not crazy here. So then why was there so much layaway there?
No. Absolutely not. Outside of Brian's collection, I think at the time we maybe had...
Okay, so she's saying, yeah, normally it's not normal to have that much layaway, but it is normal when it comes to this particular Star Wars collection that Brian had.
Why?
Which is interesting. I don't know. Maybe she elaborates.
2 used sets on layaway outside of his collection. Okay. It was not a common thing traditionally. I don't know that we'd ever done layaway before the collection came in. With Brian's collection, it was a little bit different because so much of this collection were, one, new in box, all in one place, reasonably priced, and a lot of the harder to find items. And so customers would come in and put, I'm going to guess probably half of those layaway items were not going to be sold to the person who took them on layaway, because we had several that would put them on layaway and then change their mind. So this was something like, you know, somebody would come in and want 10 different sets but only be able to buy one. Can I put the rest of those on layaway so you don't sell them? I'll pay $10 to put these sets on layaway.
What?
Traditionally with layaway, we would ask for 10% down. They'd have 30 days to make their next payment, or we'd refund the layaway amount and then put it back on the shelf. Because this collection was the collection it was, and I wanted to give these people the opportunity to...
I'm so dead. A literal dog's just like... in the back.
At least that's not the daughter.
This is too much. This is just too much information.
That feels like a not the best business decision.
Well, I agree, especially, I mean, I would assume you would take the 10% because, like, I didn't have to sell it for a month.
It's a deposit. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nice of them, I guess, to give it back. Yeah. I don't know that I would have. Okay, we're almost done. This is Coffee going back to the people at BAM and talking to them, which they are just so exhausted.
I just know that Coffee didn't sleep for a month.
Oh my God, I know. And then he has a team and shit, but like, this is like intense.
Blowing your mind, or is any of this crazy to you?
No, it's not crazy. But what's crazy to me, again, like all the photo evidence that both sides have points to there being, sure, $20,000 worth of Lego in this, of Star Wars Lego in the store.
What happened to the $5,000 you said earlier, though?
That's true. Didn't the statement say like $2,000 or something? Like, I feel like they lowballed it multiple times.
The numbers have changed quite a few times. It started for corporate being like, there was barely any. It was just like a few sets. Yeah. And now it's like, well, there's $20,000. Yeah, give him $20,000 then.
Can people understand maybe why there was some confusion and why there was some hesitation when somebody comes in and says, hey, you owe me $60,000 worth of product in Lego, and we go, we don't even know who you are. Like, yeah, Crystal mentioned something about consignment on our way out the door. And we go, sure, we'll get that figured out. But then the guy just walks in and demands $60,000 worth of Lego.
And you call the cops.
Like, what am I supposed to do other than say, cool, show me, can you show me the proof?
They did.
The problem is there's so much of a dispute on the timeline, and this is what's going to make this story so hard to tell, is like, they say, you guys are unreasonable. They tried, and eventually they gave up. But they say they tried, and they were basically met with, like, unreasonable requests, things like that. So
verification? Documentation? Is that unreasonable, you think?
I don't like him.
I don't either.
Well, I think they would say they provided the documentation, and you guys say you need more documentation. So, I mean, that's kind of the
goalpost.
Right. A spread, like, I understand a spreadsheet and a contract are a good start.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Spread their ass wide open for you? Like, I mean, what? How much more do you want? A spreadsheet and a contract is pretty binding, I would say.
That's the whole thing, is that corporate also, like, denied even knowing about it. Like, they moved the goalposts so many times. Them being like, what were we supposed to do? They asked for 60 and there was only 20. You tell them you only have 20. What do you mean? You don't lie and say, we don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they like stonewalled and like fucking gaslit them. But also, just in general, like I understand a spreadsheet can be changed. So maybe that isn't the most, you know.
Yeah, but also, like it tracks evidence. When it has been changed.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. I think they're full of shit. Hey, this guy gives the worst
vibes. Weird vibes for sure. And they're I wouldn't even say defensive. It's like they're very like, well, what were we supposed to do? And it's like, what do you mean? Like,
have a conversation, a fucking corporate company that like has procedures for things like this. Like what are you talking
they
about?
They got defensive right off the bat so quickly.
We never got that. That was never sent to us at corporate, by the way.
Y'all don't have the spreadsheet though, yeah? Y'all have the spreadsheet.
That was shared online, but months after we asked for it.
It says I'm so confused. It says, I'm on the file right now. It says, storage used, owned by BAM Franchising Inc. Owner salem.or bricksandminifigs.com.
What are you looking at?
It says, owner salem.or at bricksandminifigs.com. That's you guys. It says, owned by BAM Franchising Inc. It says, created September 6th, 2024. When I look at it, this is the Mansell list, I believe.
So this would have been created under like so we we have the
definitely have this. Y'all have access to this.
Well, I had no idea. Like so
is that really what it comes down to? Is like corporate has no idea what the fuck is going on and there's people under them doing really shady shit, or are they all doing shady shit, or what the fuck?
I'm leaning towards the latter, but like he doesn't seem genuinely shocked by it. Like wouldn't he then be angry and be like, what the fuck? I didn't know that. Like someone should have told me. Not like this kind of like, I've never seen that. Like it's giving the U-Haul thing where it's like there was no U-Haul, and then when there was, it's like, well, actually,
it's crazy.
We don't know a lot of those types of things, and understand. I appreciate you sharing this with us because we had no idea. Again, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't, like, we don't know everything, and we don't go, you know, like looking in every nook and cranny everywhere. You know, like we just don't know some of those things. So if that's there,
you would think when your entire company is blowing up,
no, it feels that like you would look you into look absolutely every everything. Nook and cranny for.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, that's this is why insane. It's suspicious, because it's like, sir, your whole company is just like crashing and burning right now, and you're like, we're not going to look in every nook and cranny. What do you mean?
And this isn't a nook and cranny. This is the spreadsheet that was shared with you of the fucking Star Wars inventory. That's like the first thing you go looking
for.
Your
company.
Literally go into fucking Excel, go into your email and type in Star Wars and see if anything comes up. Like, what are you talking
about?
Wouldn't
that be one of the first things you do?
You would hope so.
When it comes right down to it, they're going to have to make a judgment call and say, who's telling the truth? The people who were taking all the pictures and say, and we couldn't take pictures of everything the night of, but we're being honest consistently. And the people who are saying, there was $5,000 there.
Right.
Really? Like, that makes no sense. We've got the evidence, and yes, there's a discrepancy. We acknowledge we did not take pictures of everything. But does that mean that the discrepancy is, oh, and therefore these missing, percentage, whatever that would be, 5%, is some magical other place?
Or
it was sitting there in the store and we didn't get pictures of it.
If I messed up on my record keeping, I will take accountability for that. Mm-hmm. It's possible. If my staff didn't draw attention to that consignments had left out, so I'd move them to the thing. Any of that, I will take accountability to that. I am more than willing to do that. I need BAM to show me those tickets.
As they promised to do.
I will sit down with Brian and talk this over and figure out what we missed and where it was missed and how it was missed and make that right with him.
I mean, that's new information no one's ever found out. So that's like awesome. They're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars because of their own wrongdoing. They're literally going to destroy their entire company because they're this stubborn over
maybe $20,000.
So ultimately, it gets whittled down to like 20 grand that they think is actually missing, which is still significant.
And is that 20,000 before Brian's share, or is that?
I don't know.
I guess they don't really make that totally clear.
Basically, what Coffey did is like realize that there are discrepancies in the two spreadsheets. So definitely there are missing Lego, as he would say. There are theories, but he did dispel that theory of the U-Haul going to the other store because of the timeline. Like when the U-Haul, they showed the receipt and when it was returned, they had like the mileage and stuff on it, and he wouldn't have been able to make it to that Eugene store and back. Like there's no way. So there's some discrepancies with like the theories in general of where the Legos are.
Well, what happened to the whole theory of they have a secret storage unit that they're keeping everything in?
I think they dropped that.
Like,
I'm pretty sure. Well, not really, because they're accusing her of like hiding things with her coat.
Yeah, and, like, you know, like it taking feels like they have thrown out a lot of accusations for the Gormans that they just abandoned later. Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Superpower.
I cannot mention the amount of times that I've gone to a doctor and I just wanted a comprehensive view of my body. I'm like, just tell me everything. Is there anything wrong with me? Is everything good? Just let me know. And they were like, well, we can't really do that. You have to go to this doctor and that doctor and that doctor. And I left feeling not very cared for, I will say.
Yeah, a lot of referrals, not a lot of answers, and a lot of like, well, you're getting older. Well, you're a woman.
Exactly.
But Superpower actually sends a licensed professional to your home, or you can visit any nearby lab. They do one simple blood draw with over 100 biomarkers, and that's way more than you would usually get, and it helps you unlock an actual understanding of what's going on in your body.
Yeah, their app is super cool too. It includes detailed information on your heart, liver, thyroid, hormones, metabolism. Definitely things that you're not going to get answers for if you just do a basic blood panel with your doctor. And they even do things like environmental toxins, which I think is really cool. So if you have anything like annoying brain fog or like, I don't know, you're just feeling off, this could be a really good option.
And also something I feel like a lot of people have been into lately, and I always think is really interesting, they can get your true biological age that you can track over time. So it's like, for example, I'm 36. I probably, it would come up that I'm like 70 from my lack of water intake. But it tells you how your age translates in terms of the biomarkers that it tested.
They also do things like supplement recommendations and prescription suggestions, like peptides and things can be directly bought through Superpower, so you don't have to go anywhere else.
To make this year the year you stop guessing about your health with Superpower, because for a limited time, our listeners get $20 off to unlock their new health intelligence. All you have to do is go to superpower.com and use the code DWKT. And again, that gives you $20 off your membership.
That's code DWKT. And then after you sign up, they're going to ask how you heard about them. And it helps us out a lot if you let them know the girlie sent you. But thank you so much to Superpower for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. So basically, I think that this isn't just like a one size fits all, just like, okay, this is where the Legos went. I think it was like a perfect storm of things. I think the value was off. I think also there could be the possibility that Chris Gorman's bookkeeping, like maybe something was sold before that wasn't marked as sold, or the layaway situation maybe confused some things. Maybe. I'm just like obviously theorizing. But then I do think it's very possible that after corporate took over, they did not keep up with what was supposed to be on consignment and what was not. It was sold. Maybe they're hiding it. Obviously, that's just like an allegation, but like they're definitely not wanting to pay Brian anything, like at all. Like even if they end up owing him $10,000-$20,000, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're stubborn.
Crazy that they would go through all of this just to avoid that, when like literally none of this would have even happened if they just like gave him.
Exactly. All in all, it's only $10,000 to $20,000 of Lego actually missing, and we shall see if that ever comes up or not, but probably not.
I do want to see this part though about the police report. It says Coffeezilla posted his conversation with Joshua Johnson denying claims that were made in the police report. So it's Coffee saying, you told the police the vast majority of items in the store were layaway items. Josh says, that is either an exaggeration by the police officer or a mistake by me. Okay, that's kind of a big mistake. There was no list left of any layaway. The only layaway I'm aware of was the Ewok Village. I had nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of the store. I wouldn't know if there were layaways. I wouldn't have been asked about it either. Amanda, the store manager, or the two employees that were there under Crystal and Brandon, Caledonia and Mackenzie. Someone told me yesterday there was 3K of Star Wars that may match the list from when Brandon took over when we signed in January, and it wouldn't be unreasonable to believe some or all of that is layaway, but I wouldn't be the one to be reliable on that. I was not involved in many details aisles of the store. Something I've said is it is unknown what is layaway and what isn't. They all could be. Who knows? A police officer may interpret that differently. This is a weird explanation.
That's showing poor store management. Like, you should know or work with Chris to know what is on layaway, because that is important, just to know what's on consignment. Like, yeah, you can't do that.
It is also reasonable to believe that all of those layaway sets have been sold. It would be easy to figure out exactly how many there were. Look at the sales records from November 14th to January 14th. See what Star Wars sets were sold. Look at the sale price and what the price should have been. Coffee says, but what I don't understand is why the officer would put in his report that you said that if that wasn't true. And Joshua says, like the Ewok Village, look at what we sold it for, what the real value or the normal sale price was. With that one, you would be able to see Crystal took, say, $500. And then we collected another 300. I don't know. What officer? When was that? I don't control what they put in their report.
And then so now he sends the police the report. Are lying.
Yeah. And then he sends a picture of the report.
And he says exactly who, what, when, where.
Yeah. Whoa. This is crazy. So then he gives, the police, the date, the police officer, and he goes, oh, that's understandable. I was out of my mind angry. I was pissed. Nothing I said was coherent or reliable. Let's just look at the sales records. It's also reasonable to believe nobody is going to lay away small ticket items, only say $500 in value or more. So look at the sets that were sold that have a retail value of $500 or more and see if we sold 30% off or more. That will answer the question. You're already cutting corners. You said you don't know anything about day-to-day operations, but now he's like, well, it's not reasonable, so only look at this amount or higher.
For what it's worth, I really don't like Josh. I think he's like actually a monster. Like, look at those police videos. That enraged me.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's pretty much it. That's where we're at. And my God, I honestly am ready to put this saga to rest. It's $10,000 to $20,000 estimated of missing Legos. I hope they find it. God bless. And I think that this is probably going to be taught to people in PR, like in school for PR, to figure out how not to do shit. Because oh my God, corporate has shit the bed so bad.
It's unbelievable. Like, one of them could have personally paid off the amount and it would have all been avoided. But now they're also dealing with like multiple lawsuits and everyone hates them. And now Brandon and Joshua no longer work for Bricks and Minifigs.
Exactly. Yeah. No, public image is completely done for them, I feel, which is a shame because there's probably a lot of innocent franchisee owners that don't deserve to be lumped in with this. But I think as a whole, Bricks and Minifigs has really tainted their image.
Yeah. Well, and that's at the end of the day, like, yeah, there are lawsuits, but for something with retail and something that relies on the public to keep it going, it's all about public opinion. So it doesn't even matter. They could win the lawsuit and it still wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on from that, we have a very quick topic. This is a hair topic, but not in the way that they normally are. So basically, Lisa, who goes by Cruel Rice on TikTok, posted this TikTok and it definitely caught people's eye. I feel like if somebody comes on camera crying, 8 out of 10 times it's gonna go viral, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Just went to go get my hair cut. My hair's not cut. And I will be writing a 1-star review for this place. Thank you very much. I love LA.
Okay. So
very vague.
Very vague. And then when she's pushed, because people are like, what are you talking about? Like, what happened? This is what she posted as a part two.
Hey guys, this is really awkward. Posted myself crying on the internet and gave absolutely zero context and disappeared when all the incels started commenting. That's my bad. Okay. I'm back to address the questions, the comments, the concerns, if you will. First and foremost, what happened? Well, it's a really long story, but essentially...
And then she cuts it off. She cuts it off.
Shut the fuck up.
She had a hee hee ha ha moment. Yeah, literally, it was like a trick TikTok. I don't know if she thought she was being super funny. It pissed me off when I first saw it. I was like, come on. Like, why are you wasting my time?
And then it says in the caption, like for part 3, # rage bait.
Yeah.
Consider us baited with rage.
Oh, and it says she's a Twitch streamer. Interesting.
That posts anything and everything.
Now, part 3, she actually does explain what happened. So we'll
watch
that.
Her? Does she show any receipts? Because now I'm kind of skeptical that any of this is real.
Well, the receipts we have is her back and forth with the company in her Google review.
Okay.
Which actually we can read that before we watch her part 3, because essentially people found the place that, I don't even know how the fuck people do this, but they found the place that she went to, saw her review, and then saw the business's response to her review, and then were going in her comments being like, but it was your fault, essentially. So let's just read that first before she addresses it. She did, in fact, leave a 1-star review. So she wasn't lying about that.
Okay.
It said, I had been really looking forward to my appointment with Madeline. I was coming from Van Nuys, and unfortunately, the universe threw every delay in my way. I'm not usually late, and I was already anxious, so I called ahead of time and let her know I'd be 10 minutes late, but that my ETA was potentially going up. I communicated clearly and got there as fast as I could. I was informed of the 15-minute grace period and was told she had another client at 12:30. My appointment was at 11. The elevator for my parking garage didn't work, and so I ran through the mall out of breath and showed up to her chair a minute or two after the grace period had ended. She sat me down in her chair and told me she didn't think an hour and 15 was enough time to give me a haircut. My hair is shoulder length. Today was my only day off, and I told her I couldn't reschedule. Oftentimes, I've had to wait for other clients' hair to finish up, and I was taken aback that she was turning me away after all I did to arrive there on time. Her lack of empathy and humanity shocked me, and I left there sobbing after planning my whole day around this haircut I was so excited for. I will not be returning.
Their lack of empathy and humanity shocked you? Your lack of... no lack at all of entitlement is insane.
It's coupled with a picture of her crying, which That's I do insane. Think is a good touch.
That
I like that.
Actually an insane thing to post.
Now, the business responds and says, Hi, Lisa. We're sorry to hear you left disappointed. We understand how frustrating unexpected delays can be, especially when you've planned your day around an appointment. As discussed when you called, our salon has a 15-minute late policy to ensure we stay on schedule for all guests. By the time you arrived at 11:20 a.m., there was unfortunately not enough time remaining to complete your service with the reference photos and haircut you were requesting without impacting the appointments of other clients who were scheduled after you. We did offer to reschedule your appointment for another day, but we understand that option will not work for your schedule. While we regret that we weren't able to accommodate you, we remain committed to providing quality service while respecting the time of all of our clients. We wish you the best and appreciate your feedback. Okay.
Valid.
So people were feeling like, first of all, there's a big difference between 1 and 2 minutes and then 11:20 because that's almost 30 minutes late to the appointment, which leaves her with an hour to cut your hair, presumably wash it and blow dry it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of a tight turnaround. Like, yes, I understand your hair shoulder length, but that doesn't really
that
change
doesn't
much.
Matter.
I will say, like, I understand humanly feeling like if there's a 15-minute grace period and you actually get there at 11:16, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would feel like, come on, please.
Give
like,
me
I really tried. I understand her feeling that way. But now we'll go back to her addressing this.
Just went to go get my haircut.
Hey, girl that was crying is back to give you a real explanation this time. The reason I haven't yet is I just wasn't sure if that was something that was worth it for me, especially now that I know people have seen me crying. And also, it's not a quick explanation, and most of you are going to hear the first part and be like,
you're the problem,
and then they're going to leave. So to anyone that actually wants to hear what happened and you stick around for like the whole story, this is for you. It's going to be a little long, so buckle up. Essentially, I had this appointment booked about like a month in advance. If you live in LA, I'm sure you know it's not easy to find a hairdresser, and it's not necessarily something that you can just book day of. And, you know, I thought I did my research. I thought I found a place that I was, you know, going to be really excited to go get my hair cut at. 1 second.
I mean, I
None
used to live in LA. It is quite easy to find a hairdresser. Maybe she's talking about affordability or something, but I'm like, there's a lot of them there.
Regardless, that has nothing to do with the story.
Right.
The day of the appointment comes around and I get in my car. I put in the place and it says 11:04 is my ETA. My appointment was at 11. But I know that it's rude to be late, even if it's like just a little bit. And I am really good about not being late. And it makes me really anxious because I had a mom growing up who was late to everything. You know how it is. And so I call and she doesn't answer. And she calls me back once I'm on the highway. But before I get on the highway, if you live in LA, you know, there's a stupid fucking series of lights to get on the highway. And essentially, I was stuck at the light for 5 light cycles. I'm not even kidding. And I did not move maybe a car's length. And my ETA went up to 11:10. And like, what the fuck am I gonna do in that situation? Be an asshole and cut in front of everyone else like everyone else is doing and then sit in the intersection and get honked at? No, the only option was just to sit there really. Like, how else am I gonna get there? I have to go on the highway. And of course, there's also highway closures. And so she calls me back, my ETA still says 11:10. And you know, I tell her I'm doing my best to get there on time. And that, you know, I'm afraid that the ETA might go up a little bit more because the traffic was like really bad. You know, when you're on maps and it says like police reported ahead, are they still there? That happened 4 times too. Like everything that could have happened to stop me from getting there on time did happen. I wish I had gotten in my car a few minutes earlier if I knew that was going to be the case. I thought I had enough time. Anyway, she's like, well, we have the 15-minute grace period and I have another client at 12:30 and she's just like explaining it to me. And then she says that they're in a mall. And I didn't know they were in a mall. And so, of course, now that means I have to park my car in a parking garage and like haul ass across the mall. So that makes it even worse. I'm nervous, but we hang up the call and she's like, you know, just make it here within the 15-minute grace period. And I'm like, you know what? I think I can do that, right? And so I get there, I park my car at 11:12 in the parking garage, because also Amtrak, like there was literally
Jesus
a fucking
Christ.
Train that came by as well. Like, I'm not making
we
this
get
up,
it.
Okay? And I park my car in the parking garage. I run in heels.
Your choice.
And I'm sick.
Why'd you do that?
Oh, and you're sick. There's a lot of excuses being thrown out here.
There is a lot of excuses, but that actually pissed me off because I'm like, what do you mean you're going to get your haircut when you're sick?
A lot of this is pissing me off. Like, I'm late to everything. I understand it's a problem and I try really hard, but it is a problem. Time blindness.
Is it because, sorry, just to get into your psychology, is it because you don't think about like where you need to be, like how much time that's going to take, or like what happens that makes you late?
Hard to say. Sometimes it's similar to what she's describing, where it's like literally, so like when I go to LA, for example, because I don't live in LA anymore, I'm like an hour and a half out, it'll say one time and I'll like start to go, and for me there's like a back way I can take that cuts through and it's only one lane each way for like a good 15 miles at least. So if I get stuck behind someone slow, that's how fast we're going. And there's very few straightaways, so you can't really go around them. I do when I can. There's also times that road has been shut down, you know, when they have like the light where they alternate who can go.
Yeah.
So I would get stuck there for like a good 5 to 10 minutes. So I will be sitting there and I leave and say my ETA said 11:10. By the time I like get past that light, it's suddenly like now it's 11:30. And then by the time I get on the freeway, there's 10 more minutes. Other times though, it's getting ready. I don't realize how much time is passing. 10 minutes will not feel like 10 minutes. It'll feel like...
Okay, so you actually have like a different experience of time,
yes,
you feel like.
Yes.
That makes you late.
Yes.
Okay, because like for me, if I need to go somewhere and it's going to take 45 minutes to get there, I will leave like an hour and 15 before. Like,
a lot of the time
I always leave
that
with
more
time.
I will plan to do that. Like, I know I'm logically, that is obviously what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That is the plan. But then when I'm getting ready, something will like take longer, even though I like allotted how much time I know it takes.
That is very interesting. Cause like, for instance, like to do this show, I know that 2 hours before we start filming, that is when I start getting ready. I curl my hair. Then after I curl my hair, I have like 20 minutes to like, if I want to eat something or whatever, then I have an hour to do my makeup. And if I need to switch my chairs out and stuff, and it's like down to a science, but like for you, it's not like that, right?
No. Sometimes like, I can get ready in 20 minutes and sometimes it'll take an hour.
Interesting. Okay.
And nothing has really changed.
Explain some stuff for me. I will say that does explain things.
And the elevator out of the parking garage doesn't work. I stand there for what feels like 2 minutes. And I'm like, fuck this. And so then I just run across the parking garage and I call her again when I get out into the mall. It's a stupid fucking outdoor mall with businesses all over the place, ups and downs, turns and everything. I'm on the phone with her, like trying to figure out where she is. So I literally have the timestamps, by the way, okay? And I end up running into there right at 11:15 and she pokes her head out and like says like, Lisa? And I'm like, yeah. And so I swear to God, at the latest, it was 11:16 that I was in her chair at the very fucking latest, okay? Not that that matters, you would think, but it does. And so she sits me down
matter.
In her chair, offers me water, brushes my hair, asks me what I want. I show her the Insta picture. The vibes are like, and like, just not great customer service, right? And then she's like, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think I can cut your hair in an hour 15. And then she says that like, she doesn't wanna rush it and like do a bad job, which is fair. And then she's like, and that's not fair to my other client at 12:30. I don't know what to say to that. Like, I come from Wisconsin. Maybe things are just different here in California, which is why I said I love LA, because this would only fucking happen in a city like LA. In Wisconsin, like I said, my mom is late to everything. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's like it should be this way, but I swear to God, people are late for hair appointments all the fucking time. Or even if they're on time, sometimes it goes over and the next person just sits there and waits for a few minutes. And it's like not a fucking big deal, right?
To you.
That is a big deal. That sets their whole day back. Like, genuinely, it's a ripple effect.
This is the most entitled, like...
It is.
And this is crazy.
The fact that she did a video crying over this, mm-hmm. and this
and
is what the problem was...
And left a one-star review.
That's fucking so embarrassing. Like, genuinely, that would have been a, damn, that fucking sucks. Like, okay, cool. And then go home. Like, what are you talking about?
Actually, because both ways out of my town, there's one lane road. So it's like, you can't pass people if someone's going slow. If there's a traffic jam, then, like, you're screwed. And I was going to actually get my hair done one time, and I'm obviously like friendly with my hairdresser, and I like told her, just letting you know I am running late, let me know, like I feel so bad. Guess what? She said, I do have a client at this time, so like let's just reschedule, like that'll be better. And guess what? I paid her the fucking cancellation fee, because then I wasn't going to my appointment. I didn't get mad at her for not waiting 25 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it's my responsibility.
It's insane.
It sucks, but like,
What? Yeah, it sucks. You have every right to be like to your friends or your mom or something and be like, oh my God, this sucks. To get on TikTok and to write a review is insane.
And my head's down at this point because I know that she's not going to do my hair. Like I'm getting upset. And so I'm just looking down at my lap like this because I don't want her to see me getting upset. And then she like, and then she asks like, oh, are you free tomorrow? And I say no. And then she asks like, what about any other day this week? Like weekend, because it was Wednesday. And I said to her, today is my only day off, because it was my only day off. And I was gonna make a whole day out of it. Like, if you're a girl, you understand. I was gonna go get my hair cut, it was early in the day, and then I was gonna walk around Pasadena, go get coffee, go shopping, like, oh, it was gonna be a good day. And then she, I don't remember what happened, if there was something else.
She said she was getting her hair cut in Van Nuys.
No, she's coming from Van Nuys.
Oh, well, also then really random choice to get your hair done in Pasadena.
I know, could have looked for a place closer, yeah. But she said it was hard.
In my memory, she just says, okay. Or like she just says something, like she doesn't really say anything. And so I say, okay, thank you. And I get up and leave and she doesn't say anything else. And I just immediately start crying because I haven't gotten a haircut, a professional haircut in over a year. And I just really needed this haircut. Like my hair isn't bad. Thank you to everyone who was like, oh, you still look cute. It's so bottom heavy. I don't have any layers. Like this is just my hair if I came out of the womb and like grew it plus some bangs, okay? And so, and then I left a review and they responded and then deleted it. And they said that I showed up at 11:20, which is not true because I texted my friend at 11:20 after I had been essentially kicked out and said, I'm not getting my hair cut, I'm crying. Like I texted them at 11:20 and said like, I'm not getting my hair cut. So that's the story and fuck that hair salon. I think that that lady needs to work on her customer service. And also like, I would have tipped her amazingly.
Oh,
I understand that
up.
I should have been better about my time management and I could have been there earlier. And you know what? That would have reflected in my tip. And so she didn't get my money and I'm glad at the end of the day that I didn't get my hair cut by her. But yeah, you ruined my fucking day off and I wish I didn't let you, but you did. So fuck you, strand of soul in Pasadena. Weird as fuck that you deleted the response to my review too. You're weird.
I think you're weird.
You're fucking really weird. That's crazy.
This comment was very interesting to me. It says, this would make such an interesting psychological study because what happened in your life that made you this way? Are you an only child or the youngest sibling maybe? You legitimately feel the person after you should have to sit and wait so that you can get what you want. So many parts of this are interesting. I've literally never heard of anyone at all going somewhere without knowing the general layout of the area of the place they were going. I mean, if it's your first time going, you're not gonna know the layout. But
although
yeah, you would probably know
say,
it's in
like,
a mall.
She researched and stuff. I feel like you would pretty quickly figure out that that's in a mall.
Whether it's a standalone building, a strip mall, a city block, an actual mall, like you were using a GPS. You didn't see it clearly pointing to a mall. If this was an important outing to you, which it clearly was, given how you were weeping, you didn't think to leave a little bit early to specifically account for any possible common delays. Your own glaring irresponsibility got in your way of the fun day you had planned, and you genuinely feel that was someone else's fault. This is honestly so intriguing. Please answer the part about whether you're an only slash youngest child because I'm so curious.
I love this person.
I love that.
But I mean, genuinely,
yes,
I agree.
To all of that.
Especially when it is the first time you're going somewhere, I do try and, I mean, again, like it's not always fully in my control, it feels like. But again, I still take responsibility for it. I get that it's not anyone else's fault.
I know. It's so ridiculous. But yesterday, she actually posted on her stories that she was 30 minutes early to her hair appointment and then a sneak peek of her new hair. And I'm just like,
good. You
just wanted a haircut. Like,
go to Supercuts.
This wasn't a huge hair transformation for your wedding or something. Get a fucking grip. You need to relax. The fact that she got so like mask off at the end there, because she was like kind of, you know, being, you know, taking not really accountability. She was obviously with a lot of excuses, but she wasn't being nasty.
Yeah,
like she
to
was
be
at
like,
the end.
Fuck you. Don't like, are you
dude,
joking?
Dude, that totally
insane.
Caught me off guard. Genuinely, it was very, very bizarre. So yeah, not our usual hairstylist thing where like they get a haircut they fucking hate. This was like, unfortunately, something I feel like hairstylists probably have to deal with a lot. Or like
for
just
sure.
like
well,
nail artists and shit like that. Like I feel like people don't respect their time in the way that they should.
Do you remember the girl that got like dumped by her hairdresser and everyone was like, there has to be a reason. And she was like,
I remember that.
I know a lot of people in the comments were like, there has to be a reason. Are you always late? Do you do this? Blah, blah. And of course she never answered. But that was like one of the biggest things people brought up in the beginning is like, what
is
do you do that could have been it? And being late was definitely one that was a consistent like suggestion.
My God, insane. Well, anyway, that's all we've got. Shall we move on to We Love the Internet?
Me off.
I know, it's crazy. Okay, I don't really have anything. So we're just going to check in on our friend Tino. It turns out they hadn't been posting in a minute, but they're back.
Y'all, I have taken some time off because I haven't really been feeling too well. Tino hasn't really been feeling too well either. So we took some days off to get our health back in order. As you can see, he's just now starting to feel better. He wasn't his normal self for the past few days, but now he's back. In full
of- oh my God, he's doing backflips.
Hold on. This is ridiculous. Let it go. Are you out of your mind? Get it together. Hold on. Now that he's calm, we are in the process of going through a transition and we're trying to heal.
He's so cute.
We're on a diet. Tino is taking some time.
Wait, but like, why anytime her hand is anywhere near him, he's just like a rabbit?
It's like, probably
what is
like a mood he gets in.
You think? You know, I feel like he thinks like hands bite. Like hands are for playing.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, like, he's clearly not actually biting her. Like, it's a playful
thing.
Oh,
no, no. But, like, Hershey used to play like this, too. I think it's like a Yorkie breed type thing when they do that. But it is so fucking funny to me. I love Tino so much.
Actually, this one kind of reminded me of Tino.
Why are you yelling at me? Because you didn't get no Chick-fil-A? You cannot even eat Chick-fil-A. This is not for the baby. No, this is not for the baby. Number one, you ain't put in on it. You want me to give you some? Here. I'll share with the baby. No, I already shared with you. No, you're not finna get no whole sandwich. You think you finna eat a whole sandwich? Sasha, please. It's not giving grateful. No, no, you're very disrespectful. That's ugly. That's ugly. How you talk to me? I won't accept it. Your mouth is smart. Oh my God. This is the bone that Chick-fil-A gave you. This is the treat.
He doesn't want
it. You don't want this? You are disrespectful. This is a treat for the baby. You don't want the tree. Wow. Wow.
Oh my God.
The baby.
Low key, that's me and Amelie. I love that.
It's not giving grateful.
Well, anyway, guys, if you made it to the end, we appreciate you very much. But that's all we've got. And as always, we hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you on Saturday. Bye.
Cheers.